This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
The Obama Jobs Act is a prescription for fraud, and financial fraud is a prime jobs killer.
The Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act, which they call JOBS, which has very little to do with jobs or nothing, the cynical bill that emerged from Congress and was signed by President Obama, has been ascribed by opponents as something only a financial scavenger could love.
Claiming it will add to the unprecedented level of financial fraud by our most elite CEOs that have devastated the U.S. and European economies and cost over 20 million people their jobs, William Black dissects jobs and reveals why it's a recipe for fraud.
We're joined by William Black, professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, author of The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One, and deputy staff director of the National Commission that investigated the cause of the savings and loan debacle.
Now, the president claims the Jobs Act, it's a potential game changer, he says, for fledgling businesses in need of financing. Among other things, it would allow these businesses to raise small sums from investors via the internet. Now, as a white-collar criminologist and a former financial regulator and enforcement head, an expert in ferreting out financial frauds, why are you so fervent in your opposition to the newly enacted Jobs Act? Why do you think it will create a fraud-friendly and fraud-enhancing environment? It sounds like a good thing.
I don't think it even sounds like
a good thing,
which is why I think they didn't dare to have hearings on it with, witnesses and such, because it would have been blown out of the water. Every anti-fraud specialist in America, you know, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Commodity Future Trading Commission, the state securities supervisors, the accountants, the white-collar criminologists, we're all up in arms saying that this makes the world of stocks, which is also called equities, into a shadow equity system. And we've just gone through, we are in a massive crisis, the Great Recession, arising from the epidemic of elite fraud that was generated by the creation of the shadow banking system. So that was debt instruments, mortgages, and collateralized debt obligations. Those are financial derivatives that are based on debt instruments. So the Bible has long warned, all those that doeth evil hateth the light. The reason it's called the shadow financial system is because it's not regulated, and therefore it's opaque. And that's where the bad things happen. That's where they seek out the frauds. And it is axiomatic that what they're going to do is going to greatly expand fraud, and indeed was on the wish list of every pump and dump schemer and every internet schemer in the world.
Well, without getting into such detail that we spend the next 3 hours talking about the provisions, can you summarize what this jobs bill does or doesn't do?
Well, what it really does, first, it's not designed for small little startups, mom and pop. It goes up to institutions $1 billion in size. $1 billion. So this is for large, heavy hitters who are going to make substantial political contributions to the parties. And what it does, in part, is roll back Sarbanes-Oxley for this a whole class of these firms. And that's been the great goal. Ever since the passage of Sarbanes-Oxley, the Chamber of Commerce and the folks who are big in securities have made their top priority repealing Sarbanes-Oxley. And Sarbanes-Oxley was the law to reform after the Enron, WorldCom era frauds. So they're going to get exempted for quote-unquote smaller places, which, as I've just pointed out, are not actually small, but huge. Now, what is going to happen next? Well, the express claim for why we need to do this Jobs Act is that we need to engage in the race to the bottom on regulation, the competition in laxity. And we're supposedly the great competitor is the City of London, England's financial center. And so if we get weaker rules than they have, the claim is that more firms will come and take advantage of our weaker laws and commit fraud. And, that's not a good argument. As the name implies, you don't want to win a race to the bottom. In fact, the only way to win is to refuse to race. And if the frauds want to start their businesses in the United Kingdom as opposed to the United States, I, for one, will be happy to wish them bon voyage. And I think most folks would. Now, the bill is, of course, all about politics. And this year will be the 30th anniversary of the Garn St. Germain Act of 1982, the act of financial deregulation that set off the savings and loan debacle. Over that 30-year period, we've had a succession of laws that steadily deregulate the financial sector and produce disaster after disaster. And every one of these laws was passed with substantial bipartisan support. So what's going on? Both parties want to be able to claim they did something about jobs because Americans are furious at the lack of action on jobs. And so the Republicans said, as long as there's nothing in the bill that actually has anything to do with jobs, as long as the bill it gives our contributors their greatest wish, gutting Sarbanes-Oxley, of course we'll approve of the bill. And not a single Republican voted against. And, of course, the Democrats, you have to call the bill a jobs bill. So, because maybe if we call it a jobs bill, people will believe it. And then you were able to get over half the Democrats on as well, because this was the brainchild of the Obama administration. And more precisely, it was the brainchild of their nonpartisan, as they describe it, Council on Competitiveness, which, lo and behold, is totally dominated by big industry. There are grand total of two labor representatives on this whole competitiveness council, because why would workers be important to competitiveness? And the leading labor leader in America on the committee, Trumka, the head of the president of the AFL-CIO, withdrew from this entire effort lest his name be associated in any way with the atrocity that is the Jobs Act. Now, it should give you more than complete pause to know that a bill that supposedly is a Jobs Act is opposed by labor.
So you're really saying that this is a wish list in regard to fraud-friendly provisions and those intent on cheating? It's what they've been dreaming about?
That's absolutely right. So the most common scheme of smaller frauds we call pump and dump. And you can see this all over the web already. So somebody touts a stock, says that it's going to go up 300%. Then they begin buying shares in the stock, which is what we call a small cap, a very small capitalization amount. So relatively small stock purchases can move the share price a lot. And then they send more email messages saying, see, we told you that it was going to go up, and it's gone up 40% in just 3 days. Boy, get in, get in, get in. And then, of course, the lambs come to slaughter and buy the stock. So that's the pump it up process. And then the dump process, of course, is that the insiders, once the price goes up enough, they sell their shares and dump them on the poor lambs who are utterly wiped out typically.
Now, this is going to defraud a lot of individual investors, obviously. But do you see in this enough of a debacle that it could affect the workings of the entire economy?
I think this one will not be on the same scale because I think the debt stuff was so much bigger. We were talking about $1 trillion. You know, we've recently heard about pink slime, the secret adulteration of our hamburgers. Well, this is green slime that led to the current crisis. These are the liar's loans, and it was lenders who put the lies in liar's loans. By 2006, one out of every three home mortgages made that year was a liar's loan. And the evidence shows that they're 90% fraudulent. So you're talking about a couple million fraudulent mortgages a year by 2006. It's unlikely that the equity scams will be as large or as destructive, but they will, again, target the most vulnerable folks. They'll find the people that are most vulnerable to kind of this kind of, you know, stuff on the web about, whoa, great stuff, make 300% on your money. And they're only, the great reform was an amendment in the Senate that dealt with this, what's called crowd financing, and said that the unsophisticated buyers you're going to bring in will not be able to invest as much in any particular issuance of the new stock. That just means you have to invest in a couple more to wipe yourself out. So it's going to be, again, the most vulnerable portions of the population will be targeted, and the people who can least afford to lose the money.
Well, just to stand in the corner for the moment of the president, he said, you know, responding to critics who say the law will open the door, such as yourself, to investor fraud, the president insisted that these websites would be closely monitored. And I hope this doesn't give you pause for humor, but I'm being quite serious, but it would be monitored by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And he also then appealed for adequate funding of the FCC, shooting a glance at that time to Mr. Cantor and his fellow Republicans. Have I given you an enormous kind of belly laugh for this?
Oh, it's so bad that you can only laugh or get, you know, dysfunctional through depression. Okay, so let's say that you actually wanted to regulate. Because after all, regulation is the great job creator.
And tell us why. Why is that the case?
Because not regulating is the great job killer. Fraud is the mass destruction of wealth and jobs. The current crisis was brought on by this epidemic of liar's loan mortgage fraud that I talked about that was so large that it hyperinflated the financial bubble and caused hundreds of billions of dollars of losses. It was large enough that it brought down the global system, which had to be bailed out. Right? That's unbelievably large. In the United States, it cost 6 million Americans who had jobs their jobs, plus it prevented the creation that normally would have occurred of at least 6 million jobs. So that's 12 million net jobs lost to Americans. And in Europe, it was considerably larger than that. So it's safe to use a number of over 20 million people. Parts of Europe are in depression. Spain has over 20% unemployment, youth unemployment, and youth means young adult in this context, in the 50% range. Just cataclysmic damage. That's what happens when you allow widespread elite fraud. And that all happened with the SEC supposedly looking. Now, if the president had been serious, and if the Republicans had been serious about creating jobs, then they would have restored the Securities and Exchange Commission through this legislation. Could have been a provision of this legislation that said, you will increase the funding of the Securities and Exchange Commission by 70%. You will increase the funding of the Commodities Future Trading Commission by 70%. Instead, by the way, the Republicans have actually substantially reduced the budget of the Commodities Future Trading Commission, which does a lot of the the really exotic and disastrous derivatives. They're supposed to regulate but have no capacity to regulate those things. Both the SEC and the CFTC are completely behind the curve because of their monetary problems in even monitoring what happens. The Securities and Exchange Commission lacks the capacity, for example, to do real-time monitoring of hypervelocity trading, that which led to the flash crash, where the Dow lost something like 650 points in 34 minutes or something like that. The Commodities Future Trading Commission lacks the capacity to introduce the computer system it was going to have to look for speculative manipulation of commodity prices like oil and food. So everybody knows it's a farce. To add dramatically to the SEC's task with zero new budget provided by this bill is a travesty.
Well, it seems whatever Wall Street wants, Wall Street gets. And this happened back in the 90s when they deregulated Glass-Steagall and all the deregulation is happening now. Do you expect more of this kind of stuff to happen?
Yes, because it's what you can get a bipartisan consensus for. You can always get 100% of the Republicans in favor of deregulation. And then you just have to pick up enough Democrats. And if you call it a job creation bill, then administrations like the Clinton administration, like the Obama administration, will be active participants in making Wall Street fabulously happy in order to get political contributions. So the Clinton administration brought us, as you said, the repeal of Glass-Steagall in the Gramm-Leach-Bliley law. But it also brought us the Commodities Future Modernization Act. And this is where we tried, Brooksley Bourne, head of the CFTC, Commodity Future Trading Commission, warned us that credit default swaps were out of control and needed to be regulated. And instead, the Clinton administration, working with the most conservative members of Congress, on an almost emergency basis, passed legislation that not only said the CFTC cannot go ahead with this particular regulation, it said the CFTC can never regulate any aspect of credit default swaps. It deliberately created a regulatory black hole. This passed in 2000. Enron promptly used it in 2001 to help create the phony California energy crisis, and the rest of the industry promptly used it to produce the disaster that was AIG's failure. And so all of these laws passed under this bipartisan basis.
Well, you've thoroughly...
Sounds like we're going to be inviting you back again a lot more.
Actually, what we're going to do with this is it's on recording now, we're taking it right up to the Fed building, which is right up the corner from our Wall Street office, where Occupy Wall Street protesters are now sitting in protest. So this should give them another feather to put in their bonnet, so to speak.
Bad stuff real quick. Both of the bills under Clinton use the word modernization in their titles. And when President Obama gave the speech on the jobs bill, he used almost word for word the logic for those bills, both of which proved disastrous, saying, it's now modern times, so we got to get rid of those old rules. Well, it's those old rules that worked spectacularly and led to the United States having the best security system in the world. And it is the fact that human nature has not fundamentally changed. So fraud is still fraud. Conflicts of interest are still conflicts of interest. And you ignore them at your peril.
William Black, thank you for piercing the veil, so to speak, or revealing the fraud, or the emperor has no clothes. And we, again, have been speaking with William Black, and will continue in the weeks to come to understand these things. And thanks for that very searing but thorough analysis of the Jobs Act, which indeed it isn't.
Why are you so sad, Sally?
Well, I just sent in my taxes. Frank, I know taxes go to support schools and things, but we are still paying more and more and the government keeps cutting more and more. It doesn't make sense.
Maybe we should be more like General Electric. They get lots from the government and they don't pay taxes.
Say that again.
GE, the company that brings good things to life.
Not that part. What did you say about no taxes?
Actually, it's worse than that, Sally. The IRS gave them a refund last year, even though they had a profit of $14 billion or something. They even got a $3 billion refund. Sally?
I'm thinking.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that if I made $14 billion and didn't pay any taxes on it, I'd go to jail. How did they do that?
GE is a powerful company, Sally. GE's executives give lots of money to politicians and lobbyists. They attend fundraisers and shake hands and make jokes about their golf game while drinking $2,000 glasses of Pinot Noir. Then they get $3 billion back.
So if I want a refund, I should make campaign contributions.
And take up golf. It also helps if you are a corporation.
But I'm not a corporation. I'm a person.
I'm sorry to hear that, Sally.
Tell me more. Does GE have to do anything special now that they get this $3 billion refund?
No.
Do they have to reduce carbon emissions?
No.
Give money to charity?
No.
Institute Casual Friday?
Nope. In fact, they just told their employees to expect pay cuts.
After they got $3 billion?
Yes.
Do they have to create more jobs?
No.
No?
Actually, GE already creates lots of jobs. Just not here in America.
Where did they create jobs?
I have no freaking idea. But not here. In fact, they closed 29 factories. then their CEO, Jeffrey Immelt, was appointed to lead President Obama's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness.
The president appointed a guy who laid off 29 factories worth of people to head his effort to create jobs.
Yes. Irony is a bitch.
And then gave him $3 billion.
Irony also pays well.
A guy who runs a company that closed 29 factories and got $3 billion from the government in tax refunds was appointed to lead President Obama's effort to create jobs.
Welcome to Washington, Sally.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.